Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. Coffee with a Cop. The Odessa Police Department has scheduled Coffee with a Cop from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. today at Kink Quick, 4350 Northeast Loop 338. Visit tinyurl.com/MWCTAWEX. Back to School COVID-19 Vaccine Clinic, the Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled a back-to-school COVID-19 vaccine clinic for ages 6 months and older from 8 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. each Thursday through August and September. Visit tinyurl.com/54TSK5SK. Safety Day. The Midland College Petroleum Professional Development Center, PPDC, will participate in Excavation Safety Day presentation by the Damage Prevention Council of Texas. The date of August 11th, 811, conveniently coincides with the phone number to call 811 before you dig. The Safety Day will be held 8 a.m. at the Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Parkway, Monahans. It is open to the public and there is no cost to attend. The PPDC will present information about the Center's Risk Management Institute safety courses and will have information available regarding Permian Basin STEPS, Service Transmission Exploration and Production Safety Network. Call 432-683-2832. Email cepetroleum-training@midland.edu or visit midland.edu/PPDC. Garage Sale Fundraiser. Holy Redeemer LARS has scheduled its annual garage sale benefiting the parish from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. today and Friday at Holy Redeemer's Parish Hall, 2633 Conover Avenue. All donations can be left in Room K in advance. Visit tinyurl.com/3PKXYB5U. COVID-19 Vaccine Clinic, Midland Health F. Marie Hall Outpatient Center, 4214 Andrews Highway, Midland, has scheduled a COVID-19 vaccine clinic for anyone ages 12 and older from 3:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. today. Register at midlandhealth.org/vaccine. Country Dance Night. The Permian Basin Dance Club has scheduled a country dance night with Tommy and the Boys from 7:30 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. today at the American Legion, 2701 East 8th Street. Cost is $8 for members and $10 for guests. Annual fee is $20. Email pbdanceclub@gmail.com or visit pbdanceclub.com. Local News Roundup. Manslaughter suspect arrested on failure to appear. An intoxication manslaughter suspect accused of violating his conditions of release was arrested Tuesday on a failure to appear in court warrant. Michael Villarreal, 36, of Pasadena, was indicted in January 2019 on intoxication manslaughter in the September 2018 death of Susanna Castillo, 57. Assistant Ector County District Attorney Scott Turner filed a motion to revoke Villarreal's bond June 22, alleging he violated the conditions of his release by drinking alcohol and getting arrested for driving while under the influence in Harris County. Online Ector County District Court records show retired Judge Tryon Lewis issued a warrant for Villarreal's arrest when he failed to appear at a hearing to discuss the matter July 5th. He also raised Villarreal's initial bond of $90,000 to $300,000. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, Villarreal was driving a Dodge Ram north on US 385, crossed into the center median, went into a side skid, and struck a southbound Nissan Quest being driven by Frederico Castillo of Odessa. The Castillo's vehicle spun around and ended up in a bar ditch, and Villarreal's vehicle rolled, caught fire, and burned completely. Blood test revealed Villarreal had a blood alcohol level of 0.26, more than three times the legal limit, the report stated. In addition to the intoxication manslaughter charge, Villarreal is also facing an intoxication assault causing serious bodily injury charged in relation to Frederico Castillo. The Ector County Sheriff's Office arrested Villarreal around 9 a.m. Tuesday. Odessans arrested after fight outside restaurant. A pair of Odessans were arrested early Saturday morning after a fight outside a local restaurant, and one of them is facing a felony. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an OPD corporal was working off-duty security at a John Ben Shepherd restaurant when a 25-year-old man ran up to him in the parking lot. The corporal wrote in his report that the man, who had slurred speech and smelled of alcohol, said he'd just been hit in the back of the head with a glass bottle. The man, Keegan Riley, had numerous glass shards on the back of his head and neck, and his sweater was wet with an alcoholic beverage, according to the report. A witness told the corporal that Riley had been in a verbal argument with Felicia Curry, 26, and her husband, and at one point had swung at the couple. According to the report, the witness said that when Riley turned around, Curry hit the back of his head with a glass bottle, shattering it. Riley was arrested on suspicion of public intoxication, a Class 3 misdemeanor punishable by a fine of up to $500. Curry was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a Class 2 felony punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years in prison. Curry was released from the Ector County Jail Sunday after posting a $30,000 surety bond. Riley was released after posting a $312 bond. Art a la carte at the Ellen Noel Art Museum. Join the Ellen Noel Museum in the Museum Garden for Art a la carte, a free, fun art field day for the whole community that kicks off all of the museum's upcoming educational events, classes, and workshops. The event is from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. September 10th at the Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard. This year's theme, The Art of Me, focuses on portraits and self-portraits in conjunction with this year's exhibit, Spitting Image. Enjoy art stations and special visits from community friends such as UTPB's Pots and Prints, the OHS Harp Ensemble, and the Ector County Public Library. OC Testing Center, offering one-stop shop Friday. If you need to take the TSI test before starting your fall classes at Odessa College, the OC Testing Center is hosting a special all-inclusive one-stop shop entry day for entering college from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday. Students can come to the testing center located at Sedate Hall, room 227, on Friday and meet with an advisor, take their required TSI testing, and then go immediately back to their advisor to get registered for their classes. No appointment is necessary, but students must have a photo ID in order to take the TSI test. The cost for the test is $29 for all three sections or $10 for each section. For more information, call 432-335-6620. Midland businessman sentenced to prison to pay more than $12 million in restitution. On Tuesday, a Midland man was sentenced to 24 months in prison for failure to pay over employment taxes, a press release detailed. According to court documents, Thomas Valdez Rodriguez, 45, was the owner of both Tom E. Lee Trucking and Tom E. Lee Industries from 2012 through 2018. Rodriguez failed to pay employment taxes withheld from the employees of his trucking company. Also, from 2015 to 2018, Rodriguez failed to pay the employment taxes withheld from the employees of his industry company. In addition, Rodriguez failed to pay personal income taxes since 2011. Rodriguez caused a total tax harm of $12,714,214.42 in unpaid payroll taxes for both companies and unpaid personal income taxes. Rodriguez used some of the unpaid tax money for season tickets on the 50-yard line of Dallas Cowboys football games and chartered jets to take him and friends to those games. He also purchased a new residence for more than $2 million. On January 12th, Rodriguez pleaded guilty to two counts of willful failure to account for and pay over federal withholding taxes. In addition to his prison sentence, Rodriguez was ordered to pay $12,714,214.42 in restitution to the Internal Revenue Service. He paid $1 million of that right before his sentencing. This sentence serves as a reckoning for a defendant that deliberately evaded paying federal payroll taxes, cheating the tax system, his employees, and in all American taxpayers, U.S. Attorney Ashley C. Hoff stated in the press release. Here we had a business owner who withheld money from his employees' pay, and rather than paying the employee taxes, as he was trusted to do, he turned those funds into a personal piggy bank to fuel whatever he desired in his extravagant lifestyle. The collection and payment of employment taxes by business owners on behalf of their employees is a cornerstone of our country's voluntary tax system. Thomas Rodriguez's failure to pay over withheld employment taxes to the IRS is a serious criminal offense. IRS Criminal Investigation Special Agent in Charge Ramsey E. Covington of the Houston Field Office stated in the press release. Additionally, Rodriguez spent the millions in unpaid employment taxes on himself, funding his lavish lifestyle and burgeoning business. These actions not only harmed his employees' future Social Security and Medicare benefits, he was also stealing from all honest taxpayers and the United States Treasury. IRSCI will continue to track down business owners and payroll professionals who, like Rodriguez, use their employees' withheld employment taxes for their own personal gain. IRSCI investigated the case. Assistant U.S. Attorney Brandy Young prosecuted the case. New compression station opening. Company CEO addresses flaring reduction. Sunbridge Energy Services of Houston will put a new natural gas compression station online August 31st with a daily capacity of 50 million cubic feet per day. Asked if the project will decrease the flaring of natural gas in the Permian Basin from oil wells that are not connected to gas pipelines, Sunbridge CEO Michael Hines said, "No, but we will be working with producers and other midstream entities on assorted gas recapture as appropriate." Flaring intensity in the Permian Basin has reduced substantially from a peak of about 60 million cubic feet per day in 2019 to around 20 million cubic feet per day in 2021. According to a recent Rystad Energy report, Hines said, the majority intensity reduction has been the result of and will continue to evolve as a result of infrastructure and takeaway capacity from the Permian as a whole. Retransport methods such as with trailers can only provide limited relief. Sunbridge is partnering with Hanwha Cimarron Company, a leading manufacturer of high-pressure tanks and trailers. A Sunbridge spokesman said the company was formed with a mission to provide environmentally clean, cost-effective, and reliable fuel alternatives like compressed natural gas and renewable natural gas for reliable fuel alternatives to diesel for operators in the Permian Basin, helping to meet their emissions reduction goals. He said the station is on County Road 3200 at the intersection of Highways 349 and 176 in Martin County. Though there is an abundance of supply and demand for CNG, what's needed is a virtual pipeline that can transport clean fuels to operators at the highest standard for safety and service, the spokesman said. This new facility in the North Midland Basin will help bridge this gap. Bookies fundraiser set. The Permian Basin Bookies, a nonprofit organization supporting a Texas community of writers and literacy, will host a Camus Wine Dinner fundraiser. The event is set for 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday at Opal's Table in Midland in the restaurant's basement venue. The restaurant, located at 223 West Wall Street, Suite 150 in Midland, will offer wine and a three-course meal inclusive for $100 per person ticket. In addition, each individual ticket will also include a free book from published author Mark S. McDonald, Beyond the Big Shootout, 50 Years of Football's Life Lessons. The author, a former sports writer for the Dallas Morning News, will be available to sign books at the event. Proceeds from the Camus Wine Dinner will benefit the Permian Basin Bookies. You can register for the event at tinyurl.com/CE8N8XTP. Contact McDonald at mark@dustdevilpublishing.com or Bookies Board of Directors President Brance Davis at 432-210-0155. Today's death notice for August 11th. Stanley Thomas, 75, of Odessa, died Tuesday, August 9th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. August 12th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hello, this is Michael, and I will be reading a few sports articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Our first article comes from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and was published Saturday, August 6th. MHS enters first practice high on its backfield depth, by Christopher Hattern. The Midland High football team ran the ball nearly 90% of the time last year in Thad Fortune's first season as head coach. The Bulldogs, who run the triple option Veer offense, have the pieces to be more explosive on the ground this season. MHS will be looking to improve off a 2-8 season when it starts practice at 4:30 p.m. Monday at Memorial Stadium. The Bulldogs, per UIL rules, are starting practice 1 week after Legacy because they opted to have a 4-week spring football session in April and May. The Bulldogs will be highlighted by a trio of running backs that play the B back behind the quarterback in Fortune's Veer, which includes senior Mecky McCoy, junior Briley Perez, and sophomore Elijah McCoy. Between those three guys, that's a talented room, Fortune said. That's for sure, our deepest position, just to have three guys at that spot. We've got to find ways to get all of them on the field and get them going. Fortune is also high on his slot backs, with seniors Jakey Arias and Kyle Blanchard, who will run the ball on options plays to the outside. Arias averaged 9.0 yards per carry last year as a junior. They're bigger slots than I have ever really had, Fortune said. Just bigger kids, and they're strong and they're physical. They've had a good summer in the weight room. Those three running backs in those two slots are going to get the majority of our touches. MHS will enter practice with senior Jake Cunningham as starting quarterback and sophomore Stroman Bridges as his backup. Cunningham served as backup last year to previous starting quarterback Landry Walls. "I still think they'll both play and we'll be good at that position," Fortune said. "That's kind of how we'll start, but Stroman gives us possibilities at receiver and quarterback. He's just a great athlete. Jake is older. He's had a good offseason. He's gotten bigger and stronger. I think he understands what we're trying to do, and he has gained that much more experience." The Bulldogs' 3-4 defense will be anchored by senior Daniel Varela on its three-man front and junior Turner Squire among its linebacking core. Squire was the District 2-6A Defensive Newcomer of the Year last year. Fortune loves the team's athleticism in the secondary, but it will be a young and green unit. MHS has four sophomore cornerbacks with Jake Nava, Blade Brandon, Michael Waters, and Braylon Eden. "We're young," Fortune said. "It is what it is. You can list all the bad things about having sophomores out there, and you can list all the good things out there. Frankly, neither of them matter. You just have to play now. You just have to do the best you can right now. They're going to have to grow up fast." The Bulldogs will have 3 weeks to prepare for their season opener as they visit El Paso Montwood for a 5 p.m. kickoff on August 26th. MHS went 0-5 in road games last year, and the program hasn't won an away game in a non-Permian Basin venue since 2017. "Actually, I think that's good for our program to open up on the road," Fortune said. "We didn't win a road game last year, so that's a goal of ours, to get a win on the road this year. We get an opportunity week one to try to do that." Also from the Saturday MRT edition, "Stanton hopes to build off big playoff win," by Oscar Leroy. Stanton head football coach Cody Hogan knew that his team was making progress in the 3 years of overseeing the program, but a big win over number 3 ranked Childress in last year's playoffs might have been one that the Buffaloes needed to show that they were indeed going in the right direction after a few down years. The Buffaloes, the fourth-seeded team out of their district and heavy underdogs, pulled off one of the biggest upsets of last year's playoffs when they defeated Childress 39-34 in the bi-district round of the Class 3A Division II playoffs. In that game, Stanton controlled the ball with its wing T offense and took advantage of a couple of turnovers in the upset. Stanton would lose the following week in the area round to Brady in a close game, 21-13, to finish 5-7 on the season. But the win in the previous week is something that the Buffaloes hope will help steer the program further in the right direction heading into the 2022 season. "That win for us could be a program changer if it's handled the right way," said Hogan about his team's first playoff win since 2010. "It let the kids know that they could compete with anybody, no matter who it is, who they are, or what they hear about them. None of that matters once you get in between the lines. It's about who makes the least amount of mistakes that night. As long as they're brought into what we're doing offensively and defensively, they believe in the game plans, believe in each other, good things happen. We'll try to keep that moving forward." The Buffaloes believed that milestone victory has given them more confidence this year, and they probably have a little bit more pep in their step during recent two-a-day practices because of it. Stanton returns 16 letter winners with 6 starters on offense and 8 starters on defense from last year's team. They believe that if they continue to work hard, last year's finish could only be the beginning of more good things to come. "That helped, and it's been across the board," Hogan said. "Our attendance was better this summer. Attendance has been better leading into this. Attitudes have been up. The overall belief changes because of stuff like that. That win was a culmination of the last 3 or 4 years of work that we have put in. I feel like every year we've gotten better, and it's up to this group to continue doing that and continue that progression." Added senior running back defensive end Ryan Andler, "It's definitely lifted us up a lot because it's been how long we've been since we won a playoff game. That we've been in the playoffs. Us being the first team to do that in a while, it helped us a lot. It's just going to help us go forward. After winning the playoff game, I think it gave us more confidence. It just shows us that we can compete with anyone, no matter how they're ranked, how good they are, or who they have on the team. It doesn't matter who we play. Hogan said nothing could change from last year's defense, as the Buffaloes are still running a 4-2-5. The biggest change fans will see will come from the offense, where Hogan said they're changing some things, but will still be based off the run. The Buffaloes also have to decide on a quarterback, as three kids are competing for that spot, according to the coach. We got some of it put in this summer, and we were able to get some things done. So we kind of had a base knowledge of what we were doing coming in, and we were able to pick up where we left off, Hogan said. They knew a little bit of it, and we're just kind of building on it every day. There's new terminology, a little bit of new plays, some new schemes, and get things moving. It's going to be good. As long as the Buffaloes continue that upward trajectory, more success for this program could be on the horizon. We need to focus on ourselves every day and get better at what we're doing, Hogan said. Get better with our position. Get better with our steps. Get better with our play knowledge. As long as we get better every day, then we're going to be in a good spot at the end. And now we're going to switch to the Odessa American for an article from their sports section, Sunday, August 7th. Falcons, Broncos, and Panthers set for start. Practice begins Monday for 2022 season. Let the countdown begin. The UTPB Odessa High and Permian football teams begin preparations for the 2022 season on Monday. Odessa High will be the first on the field, with the Broncos lighting up Coleman Field at 6:30 a.m. for the first of 4 days of conditioning and walkthroughs without pads. Permian opens its practices at 9 a.m. on Wilkins Field, while the Falcons will hit the Falcon Field turf at 9 a.m. as well. Odessa High, under the direction of second-year head coach Dusty Ortiz, looks to continue laying the foundation it hopes will result in the program's first playoff berth since 2013. The Broncos went 3-7 in Ortiz's first year, installing a new offense and snapping losing streaks dating back to the 2018 season. Odessa High saw wide receiver Ivan Kerrion, now a junior, thrive in the new scheme as he set multiple school receiving records and is just 15 yards shy of setting a career mark. Permian, with Jeff Ellison at the helm for the fifth season, finished 8-4 last year, advancing to the Class 6A Division I area playoffs. The Panthers have made the playoffs the past five seasons and look to extend that streak behind senior quarterback Rodney Hall. The Falcons head into their summer practices on the heels of playing in the program's first bowl game against Oklahoma Baptist in December 2021. Justin Kerrion is back for his eighth season leading the program, the only coach the Falcons have had. UTPB played two seasons in 2021 as the COVID-19 pandemic pushed the 2020 schedule to the spring, where the Falcons went 5-0. They then went 5-5 during the fall season with key Lone Star Conference victories against West Texas A&M, Western New Mexico, and Eastern New Mexico. Both Odessa High and Permian open the regular season on August 26th, with the Falcons starting their 2022 campaign on September 3rd against Southwest Baptist in Midland. Now moving back to the Midland Reporter-Telegram. This article is from their Tuesday, August 9th edition. Bulldogs Play Fast on First Day of Practice by Christopher Hattern. The Midland High football team is back on the gridiron to prepare for its 2022 season. The Bulldogs finally started practice Monday at Memorial Stadium after having to wait a week later than Crosstown Legacy because they fielded a spring football session in April and May. The smell of newly installed artificial turf at Memorial Stadium permeated MHS's first practice. The Bulldogs practiced in 95-degree conditions with partly cloudy skies and a strong breeze, much more bearable than the 100-degree temperatures that were commonplace in the area last week. The Bulldogs, who finished 2-8 overall and 1-5 in District 2-6A last year, are in their second year under head coach Thad Fortune. "It went good," Fortune said. "It was good and spirited. The kids worked hard. We took a little break last week, but I wanted to see us pick up where we left off with our summer drills and where we left off from spring ball. They knew what to do, and they were playing fast. We took a look at some of our younger kids, too. Kind of grow everything from the bottom up. So the kids worked hard, had good spirit, and it was the first good day at camp." Fortune said running backs Mekki McCoy, Briley Perez, and Elijah Perez, and slot backs Jakey Urias and Kyle Blanchard stood out on the first day. He also praised the performance of quarterbacks Jake Cunningham, Stroman Bridges, Grant Munez, and Wyatt Holmstrom. "A lot of quarterbacks got reps and did well," Fortune said, "and defensively, they were flying around. There was a lot of spirit, and they were doing their job on the defensive side of the ball, so it was really good to see, and I was pleased with it." Also from Tuesday's MRT, "TLCA takes on the challenge of moving up to 11-man play," by Christopher Hattern. Taking on challenges is nothing new for the Midland TLCA football program. Just 2 years ago, the Eagles began a new era with their inaugural team in six-man football. After starting a program from scratch, TLCA went a combined 5-15 overall during its first two seasons in football. But a new challenge surfaced this offseason as TLCA reported an enrollment of 110 in the fall of 2021, which bumped the school to Class 2A Division II and 11-man in the UIL's latest realignment in February. The Eagles will play their first season this year in 11-man football while playing in a formidable District 5 2A Division II with El Dorado, Irian, McCamey, Sterling City, Water Valley, and Wink. McCamey and El Dorado both won their respective districts last season in Class 2A Division II, while Sterling City made the playoffs in six-man and won a six-man state championship as recently as 2020. Wink and El Dorado also went three rounds deep in the playoffs. Irian, which has fallen on harder times, is a tradition-rich program that played for the state championship in 2016 and won the Class 2A state title in 1996. "Our district is tough, and it's one of the tough ones in Texas," Eagles first-year head coach David Willis said. "But like I said, those guys have a lot of tradition, and I've told our guys we're going to go brick by brick, and we're starting our tradition. Our tradition started last Monday on August 1st. Like I said, we're ready for the task." Willis, a former Abilene High football player, took the head coaching reins at TLCA this summer after serving as head baseball coach and as an assistant football coach at Trinity since 2019. Willis said Sam Singleton, who coached the Eagles to a 2-8 record last year, helped lay the foundation for 11-man by teaching the players the proper basics of tackling and blocking. "Last year's coach did a great job skill-wise and also with fundamentals," Willis said. "That's real big. The great job that Coach Singleton did, that's going to come over to 11-man, and I'm thankful for that." TLCA also upgraded its practice field this season, as the team previously practiced on the natural surface of Garrett Brown Park for the first two seasons. Garrett Brown Park did not have football field dimensions marked out. This season, the Eagles are practicing on the artificial turf fields near Astound Stadium, formerly Grande Communication Stadium. "A 1,000,000% difference," Midland TLCA senior running back linebacker Dylan Krause said of the change. "The park was all hilly and rolling. I guess it made us resilient, I guess you could say. We didn't really get good practice because we can never truly figure out where we need to go when. Being on an actual field is just different." TLCA, which played 18 of its 20 games at its opponent's venue during its first two seasons, will play three home games at Astound Stadium this season. The Eagles host Miles in their August 27th season opener at Astound Stadium. The Eagles also started a feeder program and have seen a rise in their varsity numbers. "Right now we've got about 24 on the roster and with us, and that's great," Willis said. Hopefully, this will skyrocket next year. We have a junior high program with over 35 kids on it. It's going to be good. We're building every single year, and it's going to be great. Willis said TLCA will operate a spread offense and run a 3-4 defense in its first season of 11-man. Willis said senior Aiden Jones will be the Eagles quarterback. "We're going to have a great season this year," Willis said. "We're going to work hard, and we have a lot of kids that believe. We're just so thankful that we have the backing of the community and also TLCA with the teachers and administrators." And now staying with Tuesday, but moving over to the Odessa American, Tuesday, August 9th. Up and at 'em. UTPB, Permian, and OHS teams begin fall workouts, by Lee Scheide. From before dawn until just before the noon lunch whistle, football players were working hard Monday inside the city limits. UTPB, Odessa High, and Permian all began their fall workouts for the upcoming 2022 season with hope and expectations, fueled by enthusiasm, taking center stage. "I think everybody is anxious to get back on the field," UTPB head coach Justin Kerrigan said. "They're excited and through the roof. There's just a lot of great young talent. We had a run test before the practice, started gassing the people. It was a lot of good energy." That energy was evident with both the Broncos and Panthers, as well as the two Class 6A programs began the process of evaluating the returning players while trying to integrate newcomers and underclassmen at the same time. Danny Ortiz, in his second season at the helm of Odessa High, was happy that much of the time in the offseason was taken up by football. "It's all about football now," Ortiz said. "The players know our routine. They know our expectations. Our expectations are finishing with a winning record and making the playoffs. We laid the foundation last year, and we need to keep building on that." The Broncos are coming off a 3-7 mark in 2021 that included a Week 2 victory that snapped a 13-game losing streak and a victory against San Angelo Central for the program's first district victory since 2018. The key question for Odessa High will be the play of quarterback Jaylian Jones, who was thrust into action during district play last season when starter Diego Cervantes was hurt against Midland Legacy. Jones struggled through the final few games, but offensive coordinator Creighton Reed expects a different player on the field this season for the Broncos. "He's going to be the starter," Reed said. "He's done all the work in the offseason, during spring ball, and in the summer. Jaylian is a good competitor, and he's going to be good for us." Jeff Ellison, starting his fifth season at the helm of the Panthers program, is much more comfortable with his field general. Permian quarterback Rodney Hall, starting his senior season, is perhaps the most dynamic player in the district. Adept at changing the momentum of the game with his feet or his arm, Hall guided the Panthers to the second round of the playoffs last season. Hall passed for 1,776 yards and 18 touchdowns, while adding 871 yards rushing. Those skills were on display Monday as he directed the offense during the first workout, making the right read on the option or looking downfield when available, which was good for his teammates to see, as Hall worked hard during the offseason to rehab an injury suffered during basketball season. "He's fine," Ellison said. "He did a great job in getting back in putting in the work." As well as the offense performed on the first day, it was the defense that caught his eye during the workout. "He went out of his way just before adjourning practice to make sure that the defensive players knew what he had seen and how hard they were working. We are going to continue to do that and get better at it," Ellison said of the defensive intensity. "That's huge for our defense. We take pride on how physical we play, especially on defense. We're going to be flying to the ball." And now we'll move to Wednesday's papers. First from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Garden City and Lopez ready for tough schedule, by Oscar Leroy. Senior John Lopez said high expectations are nothing new for the Garden City football team. In fact, he said the Bearcats embrace them. "Those expectations are a reminder of the expectations we have for each other," said Lopez, a standout fullback and linebacker during one of the team's two-a-day practices. I don't think that's anything new. Those expectations are something we already have for ourselves. Ever since losing in the first round of the playoffs last year, we already had our expectations, and our expectations are high for us this year. The Bearcats will certainly be tested with arguably the toughest schedule they've had in years. The Bearcats play Westbrook, the preseason number one ranked team in Class 1A Division I in Dave Campbell's Texas football, number 3, May, and Van Horn, number 7, in SixManFootball.com, the team that knocked them out of last year's playoff in the non-district portion of their schedule. Then, when they get to District 7-1A, it's just as stacked as three teams, number 5, Garden City, number 6, Rankin, and number 8, Borden County, will join Grady and Sands in fighting for one of two spots in the playoffs. Probably this year more than ever, the philosophy of taking it one game at a time will be the best approach for the Bearcats. Our schedule is so loaded that we're going to have to make sure we're ready to go every week, said Garden City head coach Jeff Jones. It's one of those where we're going to have to go game to game, learn how to get prepared. It's almost a playoff atmosphere every week this year, and even the ones that are at home and some of those on the schedule, there are no easy outs, so we're going to have to be ready to go every week. That's what we're preaching this year. Go 1-0 every week and go 1-0 every day. We're just going to make sure we stay focused. We're hoping for a long season, so we don't want to get complacent and bored. We're going to have to step up the intensity week in and week out. Lopez said he's ready for the schedule, as he's as hungry as ever to make up for the last 2 years when he's missed time because of injury. Last year, Lopez suffered an ankle injury late in the season and wasn't available to play in the 70-69 bi-district playoff loss to Van Horn, a team Garden City had beaten 83-38 early in the year. I'm ready for it. I feel like I owe it to these guys for the last 2 years, Lopez said. We've had good seasons, but injuries have killed us. That bad taste has never gone, and it hasn't gone away the last 2 years. I'm hoping to get rid of it this year and finish out a season. I feel like I owe it to them. I feel like these guys are what motivate me. The last few years, I've gotten injured right before the playoffs. Just watching them out there and not being able to play, it inspires me to be out there for them and finish out a season for them. The coaching staff does just as much work and even more, so I feel like I owe it to them as well. The Bearcats will certainly be an experienced team when they hit the field this year, as they return 5 starters on both sides of the ball from a squad that went 7-4. But Lopez believes that the close connection the players have with each other is what will help them succeed and help them navigate through the tough schedule. We all connect very well. Ever since we were young and playing peewee football, junior high and high school together, we've become close like a family. We just trust one another and have a great bond with each. I think we'll have a great season. We have a pretty good schedule coming up, but I think that will just prepare us for the playoffs. If anything, it'll be more difficult in the playoffs, and I think that hard schedule will prepare us even more.
Hello, this is April, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, August 6, 2022. Viewpoints. Aviation maintenance program needs help. Crucial Midland College offering faces end without strong community support. By Ed Anderson. On April 16, 2022, the Midland Reporter Telegram kindly published an op-ed regarding Midland College's closure of the Aviation Maintenance Technology Program, located at Midland International Air and Spaceport. August 3 is the date the program will end, unless the Board of Trustees of Midland College vote to renew it. This article will attempt to bring MRT readers up to date on our community's efforts to reinstate the program and the importance of your involvement. During the May meeting of the MC trustees, the board graciously heard from many persons who had an interest in keeping the school open, a parade of representatives from the City of Midland, MAF, and the aviation industry told the board that they need aviation maintenance technicians, AMTs, now. They will need them in the future, and they need the AMT school to remain open to fill such requirements. As of this writing, there are 22 to 24 available positions for AMTs in Midland, Odessa, and Andrews. This number is the result of a survey taken last month among 9 aviation-related companies. For privacy reasons, the names of these entities and their particular requirements will not be published, but all those polled agreed to send confirmation of these numbers to the MC Board of Trustees. In addition to the current needs, several of those responding indicated the necessity for an equal number of AMTs in the future. We have a fast-developing aviation and aerospace industry in Midland, but we have competition. One Permian Basin company recently lost AMTs to Blue Origin, located in Van Horn. In addition to filling the vacancies in the local workforce, what else might a resurrected AMT school accomplish by expansion? Across the street from the AMT school at MAF is the former Army Reserve Training Center, which includes a dormitory. Former because there is a new training center west of the Permian Basin Vietnam Veterans Memorial. The General Services Administration, GSA, an arm of the federal government, largely controls all excess federal buildings. In a letter from the GSA dated November 14, 2018, the GSA responded to my inquiry raising the possibility of acquisition of these buildings for the AMT school. The GSA said in part, as stated in your letter dated November 8, 2018, concerning the subject property, the U.S. Army Reserve Center in Midland has not been reported excess to the U.S. General Services Administration, GSA, for disposal. In the event that the U.S. Army reports this property excess to GSA, our disposal process begins with a 30-day federal screening period. If no federal agencies express interest in acquiring the property, GSA would determine the property to be surplus to the needs of the United States. At that time, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, would make a determination of whether or not the property is suitable to support the homeless. If HUD makes a suitable determination, GSA would screen for public benefit uses, such as education, homeless, and public health. This screening notice would be published on our homepage at www.disposal.gov. A recent review of the GSA website indicated the U.S. Army has not declared the former Reserve Training Center excess. However, the process of acquiring the Reserve Training Center for student housing, eliminating the need for long commutes from cities in the Permian Basin to MAF to attend the AMT school, could be started. Results from working with the GSA might be a dormitory for students, an acquisition of other buildings for storage, and our expansion into continuing education for the aerospace industry. There are several high-hurdle logistical problems that would have to be resolved prior to incorporating the AMT school into Midland High School and Legacy High School. But if issues such as transportation, time away from the MHS and LHS campuses, and facilities for instruction can be answered, AMT training could begin at the high school level. A revitalized AMT school has interesting potential that invites exploration and imaginative consideration, but all of the above depends on one thing: reinstatement of the AMT school by the Midland College Board of Trustees. The next meeting of the board is 4 p.m. August 16 in the boardroom at Midland College. Hopefully, the board will vote on renewal of the AMT school at that time. You can help. How important is it for the board to hear from you? In the not too distant past, a close friend who is an AMT boarded a Southwest Airlines flight to attend a meeting in Las Vegas. The flight sat at the gate for no apparent reason. After some time had passed, one of the flight crew announced that the flight was grounded because 4 AA batteries in the handheld megaphone were dead and had to be replaced. Such megaphone is for emergency use if aircraft-generated electric power is lost. There are many redundant systems aboard commercial aircraft. You're probably thinking, why didn't the flight crew replace the batteries and get going? The general, private, and commercial aviation industries in the United States are closely, at times claustrophobically, governed by the Federal Aviation Administration. Nothing moves without their approval, including the replacement of AA batteries in handheld megaphones. The flight crew, including pilots and flight attendants, cannot do so unless they are FAA-licensed AMTs. So, there the flight to Las Vegas sat, waiting on an AMT to replace the batteries until my friend's buddy pushed the overhead call button and announced to the steward that he's, pointing to my friend, an AMT. Problem solved, right? No, Southwest had no AA batteries on board. My friend left the aircraft, went to the gift shop, bought 4 batteries, came back on board, and replaced the batteries. Then the flight left. None of the commercial carriers at MAF have AMTs stationed there. They rely solely on AMTs employed at local aviation maintenance companies for solving maintenance problems, call-outs as they are known in the industry. You, as a passenger, are going to be grounded until a certified aircraft maintenance technician fixes the call-out problem on your aircraft. AMTs are highly educated and trained. You can call them mechanics, but they are technicians. In Canada, they are called engineers. We all know how difficult it is to convince skilled professionals to move to Midland. We must produce our AMTs locally. Over the last 5 years, according to the school's records, approximately 80% of the graduates of the program remained in the Permian Basin for their first employment in the aviation industry. Hopefully, you are feeling personally affected by the closure of the AMT school. If so, you can help. All of the trustees on the board at Midland College are at-large elected officials. If you don't know who they are, they have a website showing their names, pictures, and contact information. Please let them know you feel it is important that Midland College keeps the AMT program. You can also write to them at Midland College Board of Trustees, 3600 North Garfield, Midland, Texas, 79705. You can also attend the upcoming meeting in August to show your support. Please do so.
Yearly coronary calcium scan. Dear Dr. Roach, at 65 years old, I recently had a calcium score of 16. My cardiologist is recommending a 10 milligram statin based on my latest LDL reading of 104. My blood pressure is 120 over 80. Do you concur? I was also told that it is not appropriate to have a coronary calcium scan done again or on an annual basis. Why? VM. Answer: statin drugs are appropriate to lower the risk of heart disease in people who have an elevated risk. Your cholesterol and high blood pressure numbers put you in a lower than average risk for a man your age, but you do have some calcium in the blood vessel. A calcium score of 16 is low. This puts you at a higher risk than a similar man with a calcium score of 0. In people who have a calcium score, the MESA calculator at tinyurl.com/MESA risk helps quantify risk. Your results showed a 4.6% risk of a coronary event, such as a heart attack, in the next 10 years. This is not a level where most physicians would recommend treatment. Although there may be another reason, your cardiologist has recommended treatment for you. As you get older, your risk will go up, Age is a major risk factor in coronary artery disease, and it is likely that you will benefit more from a statin drug in the future. Statin drugs have low risk, but your expected benefit at this time from retreatment is so small that the risk may not be worth it.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, August 11th. Jealousy undermines woman's relationship with retiree. Dear Abby, I've been in a friends with benefits relationship for more than a year now. I'm 57 and he's 79. I was raised a Christian and wanted to save myself for marriage. This is the first time I have loved someone and been the FWB. I'm jealous of his last girlfriend and what they had together. She wanted to get married, and he didn't. A woman at my church says I ought to just remain friends with him and pray God will send me a man who will love me and marry me. This is a retirement town. There aren't many available men my age. I feel guilty because I went against my Christian faith. I'd appreciate your advice. Signed, In Limbo in Arizona. Dear In Limbo, why are you wasting your time being jealous of his ex-girlfriend? They are history. The odds of you changing this man's mind on the subject of marriage are not good, but you knew that from the beginning. The guilt you're carrying may be the price you pay for whatever pleasure this relationship brings you. Since pickings are so slim in your community, please note that I'm not telling you to end it. However, if the situation becomes increasingly painful, that's what you should do. Because you are deeply religious, this may be a subject to discuss with your religious advisor. Dear Abby, 5 years ago, our son was arrested for child porn. At the time, he was responsible for running our family business. When he was sent to prison for 2 years, we realized he had been running it into the ground, plus stealing as much as he could. We have not spoken since. Our grandson is now getting married, and he wants us to attend. We haven't spoken to our grandson or his father since all this happened. Must we attend this wedding? Signed, Bad Blood in Florida. Dear Bad Blood, it would be unfair to shun your grandson for the sins of his father. Must you attend this wedding? No. Should you go? I think so. When you do, be cordial to your son. You do not have to see him often or at all after that. But keep in mind, there may be other family celebrations in the future. Dear Abby, I have a best friend of 15 years. We even got matching tattoos. However, I feel like I'm always put on the back burner. I'm easygoing, so maybe she feels she doesn't need to be a good friend in return. I understand we all have busy lives, but there are 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week. It doesn't take but a minute to send a text to ask how I'm doing. Am I being unrealistic for wanting a friendship that goes both ways? Signed, Lost in a Friendship. Dear Lost, it is only unrealistic if you have spoken to your longtime friend about how you feel 15 years late, and she's unwilling to expend a little more effort in your direction. I recommend you have that long overdue conversation with her and let her know what your needs are.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.